I always wanted to get the Purple Heart.
Nice left.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
By 2014, the war in Afghanistan will be over.
A general is not necessarily a general.
No weapons over there.
He may be a communist. Nice left.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Eyes Left. This is your host, Mike Preisner. I am joined from New York by your co-host, Spencer Rapone, and we have a very special guest today on the eve of Super Tuesday. We are recording this on Monday evening. This will be out hopefully before the polls are coming in, but we're joined by Miguel Medrano, who's a Southeast political coordinator for the Bernie Sanders campaign and is also a veteran. Miguel, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be on.
So before we get into talking about Bernie's program for veterans, for foreign policy, things that are important to our listeners and our community, I just wanted to ask, like, your background, your Bernie story. You're a veteran, you're in the Iraq War, and then that has somehow led you to working for, you know, arguably the most anti-war candidate in the presidential election, and in general, like, you know, the entire Senate and the House together, actually.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to tell my story. So I was in Iraq, and oddly enough, that is kind of where my story starts. I had been serving as a soldier for 9 years at that point, getting calls when we could get calls in Iraq, which was very, very infrequently, from my mother, talking about the ways our family members were being treated in Arizona. Mm. If you recall, during that time, we had a pretty aggressive sheriff here, Sheriff Arpaio.
Oh, yeah.
And he was really villainizing and dehumanizing, really people of color, but also Mexicans in particular. I'm a Mexican person. And my mother, you know, would call me very, very upset and saying, you've always been really interested in politics. You know, you grew up and I was teaching you about what it meant to be politically active. My mother had too many kids to be politically active herself, but she really, really worked hard to make sure people were registered to vote and the like. So she was always super politically active, as much as a mother of seven could be. So she would call me, you know, really just upset. And so I told myself on that day, when I get out of the military, I want to go to college, learn about political science, learn about politics, and really see what I can do to help my family. And when I got out of the military, I went to college, went to GW, started working in politics. I'm trying to go fast because of this matters.
Of course, the story belongs
to the story. But really, it was my mother who was most interested in the work that Senator Sanders is doing today. My mother passed in 2010. She believed that working people were working too hard and not getting a fair shake. She believed that money was gathering at the top, and that we had been for so long hearing, as part of people who were part of the Democratic Party, that things were going to happen incrementally, and that the party wasn't really made, or the country wasn't really made for sweeping change. And so we had to wait. And so we've been waiting, right? People have been waiting and waiting. And I worked for pretty moderate Democrats in my past. But the thing I can tell you is it stopped seeming like things were changing. And so I'm very fortunate, and many of us are very fortunate, that we can still wait. But there are people in this country who are starving. There are veterans in this country who are starving. There are people in this country who are homeless. There are people in this country, there are veterans in this country that are homeless. There are veterans in America who are not receiving the medical care they need. There are people in America who are not receiving the health care they need. The only person that I heard talking about creating any kind of real change to affect these problems was Bernie Sanders. And that's what brought me to his campaign.
Yeah, I'm glad you elaborated on both the personal influence on your political endeavors, but as well as connecting it to the actual material policy agenda of Bernie Sanders that caused you to, do all this excellent work for him. Could you elaborate a little bit more fully on just how Bernie Sanders has unabashedly been the most veteran-supporting candidate of this election cycle, but also, quite frankly, of the last two decades plus. I mean, there's no one that comes close in terms of political actors who have tried to maintain and actually improve conditions with the Department of Veterans Affairs, especially as it pertains, you know, as you articulate here, veterans coming back from war.
You're exactly right. Nobody's record can compare to Senator Sanders. None of this is new for him. He's been fighting for veterans for decades and decades. Oddly enough, even before I was even a soldier, I can remember him fighting for soldiers and veterans. But you know, his biggest priority, you know, having served in the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, has always been ensuring that veterans and their families receive the care and benefits, you know, that I feel that they've earned, and I think most Americans believe they do. He's always been at the forefront of the care and the needs of the Veterans Administration, the medical facilities that we have. We had some tough issues here in Arizona, and he was one of the few people that would speak out for them. And right, in fact, I believe he worked closely with Senator John McCain to authorize new medical facilities and to make sure that we had the money that we needed to hire more doctors and nurses. To help the searching soldiers, because they were all returning back from Iraq during that time.
Yeah, and it seems like, I mean, the most important aspect of why Bernie has been so effective over these years is that he connects it with the need to put an end to these obscene wars throughout the world, in particular in Afghanistan and Iraq. And he connects it with a need to defeat the military-industrial complex. And so can you perhaps elaborate to our listeners just how Bernie connects care for veterans, whether that's in terms of their physical health, mental health, and so on, but also with you know, connecting it to the need to put an end to these wars, because the reason why these issues continue to compound and they never seem to be resolved is because those who are bought by the corporate wing of the Democratic Party, as well as the Republican Party, continue to vote for war, whereas Bernie Sanders is the lone voice throughout his political career who has opposed endless wars throughout the world.
Well, it's important to note that Bernie Sanders opposed the Iraq war. Also important to note that we've spent trillions and trillions of dollars on endless wars, and that skipping over the important amount of diplomacy that, you know, this administration has had incredible struggles with, you know, what war really punishes working people, working families. Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, in just this last escalation with Iran, it was so important to hear Senator Sanders asking for evidence that was justifying their claim towards their march mm-hmm. for war. And so that's the type of leadership soldiers and veterans want to see. You know, someone who's going to make sure that should we have to go and fight, that it is for the very last resort and for all the right reasons.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because when the Iran escalation happened and Bernie came out with that very strong public response, in fact, dedicated a kind of major portion of a speech to the press about this, about what you're saying, asking for evidence, but also saying things that we don't really hear any politicians ever say, saying that it's not the kids of the billionaires they're going to have to go fight and die in Iran. It's the kids of working class people they're going to have to go fight and die in Iran. And I think that, you know, for both Spencer and I, for you, Miguel, explaining your background in Arizona, I mean, those are things that resonate with soldiers. And I think we're seeing it resonate because, you know, you've seen the number of donations. You know, Bernie has gotten more donations from active duty service members than not just Trump, but like Trump, Biden, Buttigieg, like all the rest of them combined. And so I think that the idea that these ideas aren't palatable to mainstream Americana and so forth, I think that's really showing the opposite. And in fact, the same thing is used against Bernie when it comes to, you know, he can't ever get anything done. He has great ideas, but he can't get anything done. The VA bill that you mentioned, which Arizona was an epicenter of, because it was used as the example of the crisis. This was under the Obama-Biden administration. You know, Joe Biden, who not only voted for the Iraq war, but was serving in office during the major crisis of the VA, the crisis of suicides, the crisis of wait lines and so forth. And it was Bernie who stood up and asked John McCain to help him actually solve that crisis under the kind of ineffective leadership of the administration that was in at the time. And so I'm just wondering what there's so many angles to this. But I think one in particular is the, you know, we're of the generation that there's, of course, the care for veterans when they get out, and whether it's Gulf War illness, Agent Orange, burn pits, all the things that Bernie has shown leadership on and caring for the veterans community. But he also talks about, in addition to it's in that vein of it's not the kids, the billionaires that go and fight. It's the kids of people looking for a way out of the economic situation that they're in. What are the things that are pushing people into the military? And, you know, you and I, Miguel, are from the generation where, you know, you joined before 9-11. I joined before 9-11. And then it ended up in Iraq in a disastrous, endless war. And I could say that, you know, I would say the most people who killed or were wounded in Iraq were there because they were looking for a way out of the situation that they were in, looking for a way out of the difficulties that they were experiencing as a working class person in this country. And I'm wondering if you can speak to how that element of Bernie's platform pertains to soldiers and their families and people who haven't gone in yet.
So for, I think, you know, a few different things there. First, I come from a poor working class family. Secondarily, even though I'm out of the military now, I talk to soldiers every day, people I've served with for over a decade. People who are non-commissioned officers and leaders and officers in the Army now. And there is tremendous support for Senator Bernie Sanders. I think we all get kind of put into a box of, you know, who we're supposed to be supporting or who we're supposed to be. But the Army is just, it mirrors the people of America. And throughout the Army, you will find people of all gay people, Black people, Latinos, of every origin, and they are supporters of Bernie Sanders. And I could give you a by name list of all of the people that I know who have served with me for years honorably and support Senator Sanders. To your other point, yes, working families are hardest hit when we are called off to war. And to have them come back to a president who has been so critical of some of our soldiers and veterans is a disgrace. And, you know, I can tell you it is not in me to disparage another politician, especially a Democratic politician or even the president of the United States. But it is important to call out the way this administration has treated our veterans. It is a disgrace. And I am so grateful to have someone like Senator Sanders calling them on those points and showing the type of leadership that soldiers and sailors, Marines need when we're out in the field.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting too because, you know, we've seen Bernie in these debates, and you know, I understand the strategic approach to you know, the limiting criticism in certain ways, but you know, Bernie has been outspoken about Biden's support for the Iraq War, which of course is very you know, very very personal to many of us, but I think that the reason for doing that is showing that there's two different foreign policy visions that are embodied in this Democratic primary. You have the wings of the Democratic Party that are kind of advocating for the status quo when it comes to foreign policy. And then you have Bernie Sanders, who's really standing alone and saying we want to do something very different. In fact, his speech after Nevada, you know, saying the military industrial complex is scared that we're not going to be spending more on the military than on the next 10 countries combined. And so I think that's making a very serious point of this campaign to say we're going to be charting a different path in the way that we treat, you know, the military industrial complex, but also a foreign policy as a whole. And so in your capacity to kind of in your the window that you have into the Sanders campaign and what a Sanders administration would look like, what are your thoughts and feelings about how he, in terms of foreign policy in particular, you know, being the commander in chief of the U.S. military, how that would look different for active duty service members than we've seen under both Obama, Bush, you know, and Trump today?
So I won't couple President Obama with the other presidents. But so I will say the one thing that I think is very, very particular about our Democratic president from the past and Bernie Sanders is they have always been very, very concerned about people. Mm-hmm. And the people that our soldiers are and the families that are affected by war. And so I hate to believe, in as much as I understand the military industrial complex, if you're a soldier who's been deployed so many times, if you're a soldier who has friends who have died or been in Iraq, You don't want to believe that you die or risk your life for money, and your family pays the price for money. So the one thing, and I won't even say that this is not true about any of the other presidents, but the one thing that's very particular about Bernie Sanders is that he cares about people. He cares about the soldiers. When he talks about things that are affecting us as a country, especially when it comes to foreign policy, he sees the people first. On both sides. And that matters a lot to me.
Yeah. And I'm very, I guess enthusiastic in the same way you are about the manner in which Bernie Sanders' campaign captures the multiracial, multigenerational makeup of the United States. And as you said, the military itself, you see people, as you said, from all walks of life and so on and so forth. And so I think that's another clear example of why Bernie Sanders is resonating so much with active duty military personnel. And I guess, you know, we discussed foreign policy here, how Bernie Sanders is the only anti-war candidate with a political history to back it up, as well as being pro-veteran. I think the manner in which he's both pro-veteran and anti-war cannot be stated enough. But in what capacity, you know, all three of us know active duty members of the military currently, we know veterans. And of course, there is a wing of the campaign now, Veterans for Bernie. Both Mike and I have spoken with Dennis, who's leading that endeavor right now. Can you speak to the manner in which military members, whether they're veterans or whether they're active duty, can put those skills that they've learned in the military towards organizing for Bernie and changing this country for the better? Because as we all know, there's so much more to being a soldier than the skills you pick up that go towards aiding combat and war and violence. There's so much more to, you know, just your status as a human being and as in being able to work as a member of a team. So I guess the question in the simplest sense is, in what way can Veterans for Bernie play a role in this campaign as we strive to make this country better for each and every one of us?
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Yeah, there's different. So for soldiers, it's harder for them to be really politically active. But the one thing that I was able to do as a soldier, and I'm grateful that you're giving me the opportunity to do here, is to tell your story, right? So many people clump the military into this type of thing, and we're people, right? We have families we're worried about it at home. And we receive some of the best health care and benefits while we serve. Mm-hmm. But there's a time when you're not serving, where things are very, very dangerous and or very, very challenging. But we also have families that are connected to the benefits that we receive during that time. And we worry about them, right? So it's important for soldiers who are serving to tell their stories, to make sure that everybody isn't clumping us into one big group and believes that we're all something that we are not, right? Many of us support Senator Sanders. Many of us support the values that he espouses, and many of us support the programs that he's pushing for our country. But that's the one way that I think soldiers who are serving can best do it, and to make sure they vote. Every soldier should have someone who is an advisor to the unit, the platoon, the section that is responsible for allowing them an opportunity to vote. Important to take part. Such an important voice to be heard. Soldiers out on the field or soldiers in garrison, for them to use their voice and vote. And if they support Bernie Sanders, I would appreciate that they went out and made sure they're registered to vote and that they're voting. For people who are veterans like me, there are so many ways to be a part. Go to BernieSanders.com. Take a look at things that are happening in your city. Every city, so many of our biggest cities especially, have hundreds and hundreds of events that are calling voters, knocking on doors, having roundtables, talking about different groups, and you can be a part of those things. And people want to hear your point of view as a soldier, as a veteran. People want to know that you're with us, right? That you're part of this movement to make America a better place for everybody.
That's right. And while we have you in these last moments, because I know you are on the front lines of the Super Tuesday battle, and so the more we keep you, the more we keep you away from that. So we want to get you back to that. But I did want to ask, in the ending here, and I do think it's, of course, one of the reasons I'm optimistic about Bernie Sanders is because, for so long, the anti-war grassroots has never really been listened to or had a seat at the table when it comes to Washington. And so I'm confident, and I hope you agree, that Bernie Sanders is a different kind of politician. And I think it's been demonstrated through the development of his program, even since 2016, that he's willing to listen to and sit down and take the advice from those who are on the front lines of the different political struggles that we're involved in, whether it's for better veterans care or for preventing the next war and ending the wars that we're in, and so forth. And so I'd like your thoughts on that. But also, I think that right now, you know, we're seeing this kind of last ditch effort before Super Tuesday. We've seen Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar drop out, expected to endorse Joe Biden. Although, of course, we know that many supporters of Pete and Amy support Bernie Sanders as a second choice. And that could actually end up backfiring in some way from the strategic standpoint of the Biden campaign, if that's something that they were urging. But I know that whatever is happening, there's clearly an attempt by, you know, the kind of that political wing of the Democratic Party to mount a united effort to stop Bernie from getting the nomination as we go into Super Tuesday. And I know that to what degree that's true, there is a lot of fear and anxiety now among the Bernie movement that this is, you know, even though we came off, you know, really successful first three states, a strong showing in South Carolina, that there's this fear that the establishment is finally getting its act together to be able to stop Bernie. And so just curious from your standpoint, the perspective, the message you have to those people who have been campaigning for Bernie, supporting Bernie in these moments about what's happening, what you think about it, what you think people need to keep in mind.
So this is all relatively new information that's coming out today about presidential candidates dropping out. But the one thing I will say is, I haven't run into a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters that are telling me that they're really worried. Maybe that is the case. But what I will say is this: for any campaign to win this election, they're going to have to put in the work. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to raise the money. They're going to have to knock on the doors. They're going to have to make the phone calls, have the conversations, and they're going to have to do it at a level higher than anybody else running for president. They're going to have to work really, really hard to surpass the movement and the organization that is the Bernie Sanders campaign. I came on just a few months ago, and I'm telling you, I've come from another presidential campaign that was a staffer on campaigns around the country and in my state. And I'm telling you, I've never, ever seen a movement this strong, this organized, this talented, this diverse, this exciting. For people to get, it's important to be mindful of the work we have to do, but to be afraid, I don't think that that's an emotion we need to have.
Yeah, I couldn't have put it better myself, Miguel, and I appreciate you saying that. I just to reiterate, as you said, we need to put in the work at a higher level more than anyone else, and I think that should be our guiding words from now until the primary and beyond that into November. Miguel, any final words you want to put out there?
Would love for my brothers and sisters who are veterans, who are soldiers, sailors, Marines, to go to BernieSanders.com, take a look at the section that's called Honoring Our Commitment to Veterans and Soldiers, and take a look at the key points. It is an incredible platform that Senator Sanders has. I think that's one that you could get behind, but take a look at it. There's a lot of detail about how he's going to change this country for the better. I couldn't, in this time that we have, I couldn't have covered it all for you, but it is pretty, pretty extensive. And I couldn't be more proud to be a part of this campaign.
Thanks so much, Miguel. I really appreciate you taking the time, and good luck today and tomorrow.
So you just listened to our interview with Miguel Medrano, the Southeast political coordinator for the Bernie Sanders campaign and a veteran of the Iraq War. And I hope you took a lot from it. We just wanted to end this episode with a few more comments. We're recording this, of course, on the eve of Super Tuesday. And today we have learned, well, really over the last 48 hours, that both Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar have dropped out and plan on, if they have not already, endorsing Joe Biden. And for some, that might seem troubling. But I think that is the wrong perspective to take on this, quite frankly. And for me, I believe that all of this news cycle of the last 48 hours were ultimately redound to the benefit of Bernie Sanders. And I couldn't be feeling any better about this. And I just want to give a little bit of my own anecdote here. I, since we started the show, I've been busy with grad school. So my life is quite hectic, but I did take time around mid-January to volunteer and collect signatures to get Bernie Sanders on the ballot. As part of, you know, some of these more archaic processes we have to go through in each voting district to get a candidate viable when it comes time for the primary and election day. But the amount of support I saw in those two times that I went out there in the freezing cold by a variety of people who aren't considered to be, you know, your typical Bernie Sanders voter, contrary to what much of the media apparatus will tell you. And since then, it became apparent to me, and it really had been before that, but this was kind of just a lived experience that confirmed something we all, I think, knew for some time now, is that really, I think we could say since the Queen's rally, which took place around the same time that Bernie Sanders was endorsed by AOC, Rashida Tlaib, and Ilhan Omar, is that Bernie Sanders and all of us who are part of this movement have the initiative. And our enemies, the billionaire class, the capitalists, I mean, the political establishment, are responding to us. Okay, and this is, I'm usually not one to make military metaphors all that often because I think they can be kind of shallow, but I think this is really apt in this case because initiative is something that's quite important in any type of engagement. And because we have the initiative right now, what that means is that all of our political enemies, our opponents, have to react, have to respond to us. I mean, the establishment, which propped up Mike Bloomberg, and of whom have supported him buying his way into the primary, that is a result of us having the initiative. And the establishment and all of their backers are going to try every unethical, dirty trick to undermine this working class movement. But here's the thing. All they can do is respond, conform to our plan, and sputter out. Because, as I have insisted, we have the initiative at this moment, and we have continued to have this initiative. South Carolina was ultimately good for the Bernie Sanders campaign. Joe Biden had to pour everything into that state just to win a primary for the first time in, 17 different presidential campaigns, it feels like, okay? No, seriously. I mean, this guy has run for president seemingly his entire political career, and this was the first state he won, and he had to pour everything into South Carolina. And yet, Bernie Sanders and all of his supporters, all of his organizers, volunteers, they got 20%. They got a share of the delegates, and as Philip Agnew and others have pointed out, they planted the seeds for the long game, for the longer struggle, the long march that's carried out throughout this campaign. So everything that took place in South Carolina was setting the foundation for this longer struggle to get Bernie Sanders elected to president. Now, the more success we have, the more Bernie continually gains momentum, our enemies have less and less of a chance of regaining the initiative from us. Okay? When one's conducting a mission, you have what's called a decisive operation, and those are supported by shaping operations. Again, usually try to stay away from military metaphors, but I think they might be generative here. And that decisive operation is supported by shaping operations. So there's the tactical level, the operational level, and the strategic. And so we can think of the tactical level right now as the volunteers on the ground, knocking on doors, making phone calls, text banking, and so on. And the operational level are those coordinating those efforts across states with the different staff members of Bernie Sanders' campaign. And then there's, of course, the strategic level, which is winning these elections, winning this primary, and winning the general election in November, and ushering in the first socialist president in the history of the United States of America. And so, all of these operations at the tactical, operational, strategic level are nested together, and we see this happening in the Bernie Sanders campaign, from the excellent communications efforts led by Brianna Joy Gray to different other surrogates for Bernie Sanders, whether it's Killer Mike, whether it's, you know, the incomparable Nina Turner, and so many others. And so what we can observe happening with the Bernie campaign right now is a historical shift in the political horizons of the history of the United States of America. And the establishment cannot be more terrified, because despite what the news cycle has tried to emphasize over the past 48 hours, Bernie Sanders might not have won South Carolina, but he's won the first three elections before that. And he's maintained his momentum throughout the South Carolina primary. He's maintained it up to this moment I'm speaking. And throughout all of that, the Bernie Sanders campaign has not surrendered the initiative. And all of this happening today that might make you feel a little bit uneasy is simply our political opponents conforming to our plan right now. And they could do nothing but conform to our directions, our efforts, and what we're trying to accomplish, not only in the course of this primary, but leading up to the general election in November, and which Bernie Sanders will win. And so I want to say, to close this out, that we have the momentum, we have the initiative, and just to keep our eyes on the prize, Super Tuesday's tomorrow, all of the primaries beyond that, we got this, everything is steady, and we will win. You've been listening to Eyes Left with Spencer Rapone
and Mike Preisner. All of our content is free for everyone, but we can't do it without your help. So if you support this project, go to patreon.com/eyesleft to make it possible to continue. Be sure to follow us on social media at Eyes Left Pod.
And if you're in the military, a military family member, or a veteran and want to share your story, report problems and mismanagement, or need advice or assistance knowing your rights, including your right to get the hell out or refuse deployment, please write us at eyesleftpod@gmail.com.
Eyes Left.